This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. Hurst. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Go get some Hey Man L, and every week we get the opportunity to visit with the head coach of our Atlanta Falcons. That is Arthur Smith, who joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations. I said this about you, and I'm not saying this, you know, because I'm trying to kiss up, but I think you've done a hell of a job considering those last two L's to get guys' attention, to come back and go on the road and find a way to win against Jacksonville 21-14. Congratulations, Coach. Good win.
Thanks. I appreciate it. We got the right mindset. You know, obviously, we weren't happy with the last 2 weeks, and we just looked at it as an obstacle, and we knew we could come out of it. And really pleased with the effort with the players and the staff, and it was good to get back on the winning track so I could get home and had a victory hey man ale. So
excellent.
Good to get back in the saddle. So
nice, excellent. Obligatory product placement right there. Hey man, Cordero Patterson obviously was forgetting. Great to get over that century mark running the football. Can you do that again against the Bucs with him?
Well, yeah, certainly. Yeah, we'll try our damnedest. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. You know, people have attacked him. Some people have just completely given up on the run against them, and they've been a very salty run defense the last 3 years. Lately, a couple teams have hit that century mark, and we just need to stay balanced. You know, there's multiple ways you can attack them, trying to stay efficient and, get down there and obviously score touchdowns.
Coach, what is it? I'm just curious if you could share with us at what point you realized you were going to be able to do the things with CP that we've seen. And Mike and I say, you know, Coach has been able to unlock the mystery that is Patterson. What is it that you saw that others didn't that made you feel like, okay, I can do this, this, and this? Because this guy's a football player. He's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver. He's not a returner. He's just a ball player. But what made you feel like you could do all of these things with him?
Well, several factors. It helped with Dave Ragone and Charles London. You know, I'd worked with him in Chicago. So they could give a pretty good information in what they were trying to do there and what worked and what didn't work. And then the experience with other players I've had in the past and kind of the way that my mind works, where I think you see a good football player, and as soon as he got here, or when I talked to him in free agency, we told him, here's the plan. And same no different with Kyle early on. As many places and spots we've moved Kyle Pitts, you can't do that with most rookies. And that's the underappreciated thing about Kyle and CP both. I mean, they play all over the field for us. But we started from day one. It wasn't like we were real conservative and then all of a sudden handed the game plan week one and said, here you go. So it was a plan, a lot of trial and error from the spring and the summer camp.
It is head coach of the Falcons, guys, Arthur Smith, with us on the WadeFord.com hotline with our Falcon report. And speaking of Kyle Pitts, it took a minute to get Kyle Pitts going. I know that they did some things coverage-wise. I think it was Campbell. Looked like Tyson Campbell was drawing a lot of the coverage. On the pick that Matt throws, and you were aggressive, and we'll talk about that at the end of the half in a sec, but is Kyle need to learn to come back to that ball, or Matt shouldn't throw it because it becomes a triple coverage situation?
Well, the way the corner jammed and synced, he tried to fit it in there, and he's done a nice job. They have a good rapport there. And some of those concepts where he where some guys have instincts, some don't. And, you know, you go back and look at some of those outbreaking routes where Kyle can feel the zone and throttles down and Matt's put it on the back shoulder. It just, you know, Matt was trying to be aggressive to make a play, you know, throwing it right into there. The guy, Campbell, you know, sank pretty good there. And, you know, in the future, you'd like to see if the guy comes, if his ball gets thrown like that, we got to at least knock it down. So right. It's a learning experience for all. And thankfully, the defense turned around and handled the sudden change.
Coach, defensively, Coach Pease has been pretty adamant in his pressers about certain guys not living up to it. One of those guys was Dante Fowler. Fowler had a strip sack. We didn't get on it, but he affected the game. And I'm curious to know, how do you as a head coach continue to get production out of our key players like this?
Yeah, the name of the game is being consistent. You know, people see the big splash plays like that. You know, the ones – it's a coordinated rush game. You know, Dante works extremely hard. I mean, we have different plans every week how we want to try to attack and, you know, certain pressure packages or simulated pressure packages. And the hardest thing to do, especially a guy that's got pass rush talent, when you are a pressure team, depending on how you want to coordinate him, is to be part of the rush plan, because it's not just about one-on-one sometimes where you open up the lanes and guys can step up and get away. And you know, at times we've let some of these mobile quarterbacks get out of the pocket. I thought for the most part, Trevor had a couple of things, but for the most part, we kept him in there. So when we did play man and your back's turned, you got to collapse the pocket. So we'll keep chipping away at it. But, you know, was happy with some of the plays Dante made.
We were talking earlier about the end of the half. If I remember right, they go down there kind of eating some clock at the end. You were aggressive once we got the ball back. If you had it all over, as we second-guessed the coach, Carl, in this segment, would you have maybe called the timeout earlier, or are you just like you still like the way the time you had to try to get something to the end of that quarter?
Yeah, we had plenty of time. So here's the thought there. So they got down there, I banged the timeout. We had them at second 11. And it kind of let me off the hook there because, you know, it was incomplete. So it's third down. They checked it down. So you bang the timeout there. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, you'd have some more. I was trying to put pressure on. I'm sitting there looking at Urban, seeing what he's going to do. He's kind of waiting to see. And I'm like, all right, well, if we get, you know, 50 seconds and two timeouts, right. We'll be just fine. We can go down there and move the ball with it. You know, you need the timeouts. That's always a pretty good argument about when you get under a minute, maybe a minute and a half, if you had, you know, no timeouts, or you take, you know, 50 seconds with two timeouts. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios at play, but more it was to put the pressure on them, because are they going to go for it? Which eventually they banged the timeout and decided to kick it, which was probably the right play. But it was a little bit of gamesmanship, and I thought, hey, if we got two timeouts and over 40 seconds, that's plenty.
Before we get more into Tampa, it's Arthur Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, it's kind of a two-part question, because I was looking at our vertical numbers, 26 passes, pass plays over 20 yards or more this season. I know you want to do more vertical stuff, and you talked about this, I think, earlier in the week, but I'm curious to know, is it just what the coverage gives us that dictates that? And then is Matt able to walk up and see how the defense adjusts and you know, adjust out of a play call, or does that just depend on the personnel?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So, you know, a lot of things what people are trying to do, and you're seeing more of it around the league. And there was a great article written about a week ago, give or take, in the Wall Street Journal, just about, you know, what's old is new again. How much shell coverage? People saw it in the Super Bowl last year, the way, ironically, Tampa, you know, played Kansas City. Right. And so even if you're not seeing a lot of shell, you're seeing a lot of people play soft coverage to us because they're, you know, they want to take away the play action game. Doesn't mean you can't get explosives going down the field. And we've taken plenty of shots to try to get that. And then if they're going to sink out of there, and we've checked it down and we've been decently efficient, you know, the games that we've played well and keeping the ball, and that's what they're going to give us. And, you know, we'll take the check down, which is essentially a run. And we'll find creative ways, whatever. Now, you're talking about scheme. I'm not going to get in depth in scheme. And I think there's a lot of old conventional wisdom about quarterback just, you know, calling the play at the line. I think as offenses evolve, most teams usually package plays. So when you see guys doing stuff, whether they signal, they're doing something with their helmet, that's pretty common. Very rarely does anybody ask the quarterback to go up there and say, hey, here's the whole menu, call what you want. Mm. You know, I know people used to do that in the 70s when the play, probably the call sheets weren't as many calls and the nuances with the motions and whatnot. But that's the old audible, like most people are packaging plays. Does that answer that for you?
It does. Yeah. No, Coach, I was just curious. We get it all the time, and I know, you know, you hear this, Coach. Well, could Matt change the play? Right. A lot of that, we always say, depends on the personnel on the field and then what the defense is giving you. It's not like he just walks up there and goes, all right, we're going to change it just to change it. So I kind of wanted you to explain it, but I appreciate that because I think it's a question that a lot of Falcon fans always wonder about.
Yeah, and then, you know, just one thing I didn't mention going back to the end of the half, the other thing you have to consider, too, when you get down there, is if you leave them too much time, how aggressive you want to be, and you're not getting the ball after half, you don't want to give them a chance to triple you up. You know, they came away with 3 points. We want to score, but we also don't want to get them an extra possession because they're getting the ball after half. So all that stuff is in consideration.
Right. And then for those who don't remember how it went down, we got them to punt after they got the – I believe it was a punt to start the second half. So, if it was. So then we scored a touchdown after that. Hey, the Falcons get it done now, as we said, Tampa Bay. And it was one of the strangest games. And just your second game as head coach where we got down big time. Matt Rowley's back. We cut it down to a field goal. And then we had a pick six. One of those was on – actually two. One was on a deflection. One of the crazier games. Do you feel the rookies have taken a huge, huge step from where they were in week two to where they are now?
I do. I think, you know, as we've constantly working on developing the roster of young guys, guys we've brought in here as the season's gone on. And that's why we made the decision in the preseason to play all these guys. And at some point, you're going to need them and you're going to keep developing. And I'd like to think that we're a much better team and the rookies are, you know, they've gotten better as the year's gone on. So, you know, everybody's dealing with different injuries and you know, who's up, who's down, but. Pretty pleased with the rookie class and the progress for.
Coach, I'm not trying to get you extra hype, but we're in the hunt. I mean, we're in the hunt.
We are.
I mean, we're right here. This is a big game on Sunday, isn't it?
It is. And that's why you have to have perspective. And that was the message last week. You know, nobody felt good about what happened before, but it is. You know, that's what happened. It is an obstacle. And you can't – you've got to keep in perspective. And that was why last week was so important. Now this week's even bigger. I mean, you want to be playing meaningful football in December.
Right.
That's the name of the game.
And for the first time in 3 years, we are. It's nothing to do with, you know,
true.
Not going to put you on the spot. You got nothing to do with the previous regime, but that's a fact.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. And I know that we did talk about Cordero, what he can do. And I know my weekly question about Calvin, I know you have no idea when he's going to come back. But in some of these games, matchup-wise, like the game we just had against Jacksonville, could you use – I think I know the answer, but couldn't you use an extra weapon who can stretch the field the way that that Ridley could?
Well, I mean – you know, everybody's dealing, every team's dealing with something, you know, whether, you know, it's just a long season. And that's why, you know, I appreciate that the rosters, especially the practice squad, and you get the exemptions for some of the veterans that you can keep working with so you can use the standard elevations. And everybody's dealing with something. It's never going to be perfect. You know, the roster, you way you want it. I mean, you got to deal with something. So that's kind of my mindset. Control what we can control.
Right.
And whether it's injuries or whatnot, and we got to get the guys ready to go. They're available.
Coach, out of curiosity, before we let you go, how much college football do you get to watch? Do you see any? I mean, you know, you got the Dogs in our backyard, obviously playing Alabama this weekend.
Yeah, you want to make
game.
A pick? Let's make a pick.
I'm just curious how much do you get to take in, or is it just very little based on the responsibility of your job?
Well, you certainly you know, peek it when you know Saturday, whether we travel or not. You know, you get to the hotel. You know, we keep the games on, you know, in the meal room, so it's cool. It's, you know, I got to see the end of the Alabama Auburn game and. Watch Josh Harris and Marlon Davidson kind of sweat through that one, which is entertaining.
You got those 2-point plays in your book?
What's that?
You got those 2-point plays in your book? They had some hell of a 2-point plays in that game.
Yeah, that's what you know, sometimes you get good ideas. You're sitting there watching, certainly in the spring, you're going to dive into all that tape because of the draft process. So certainly, yeah, I try to pay attention as best I can on Saturdays when you see it.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you.
I'm not going to give a prediction on Saturday.
No, I hear you. No. I mean, yeah, I get it. Hey, we appreciate you. Hey, we gotta get a home win, man. We need one, and hopefully it's Sunday. So, good luck. Thanks for the time, as always, and we'll talk to you next week, Coach. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. And, hey, I know we got to catch a break, but we said this earlier. It is a big game, guys. You know, so many fans, Carl, on the fence. We'll talk about it later in the six. But let's hopefully get some fannies in the seats on Sunday, man.
Hey, Mike. As always, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's guys are giving you charges, and those are fees. They're giving you freeze at Domino's, guys. $50 million this year. Get your shot at the action. A 1 in 14 chance. Order tonight. Go to Domino's.com.
All right, guys. Coming up, the strong arm story of the day. We'll talk about the road to the college football playoff. The rankings came out last night. One change But that will change as we get to the conference championship games this weekend. It's Dukes and Bell.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We've been talking about it all day long, guys, and that is lockout looming in Major League Baseball. But more importantly, how does it affect our Atlanta Braves? Mike, poll question today has gotten a lot of response from people saying, hey, I am a little nervous. A lot of people saying be patient when it comes to the Freddie Freeman situation. No deal has been done yet, guys. And today, with it being December 1st, this is when the CBA for baseball expires, which means they need a new one. And this is how the two sides get along. And they say, hey, we're going to do this. And the owners say, we're going to do that. And the players say, great. But right now, Mike, it doesn't look like we're anywhere close to that happening.
Yeah, apparently it was about 7 minutes, and then the owners basically they're got clear intentions. They're going to lock the players out, but it sounds, as you said, scarier to the average fan. This is just the gamesmanship. You know, it's like a bad car deal. You go low, they go high, and let's try to make a deal. Some details have come out. Ken Rosenthal got something from Evan Drellich, who covers MLB, from the Athletic, and MLB offered to raise the first luxury tax tier up to $214 million, peaking at $220 million, so that would mean more salary for the rank and file. The free agency proposal from the Players Association, 6 years of service to become a free agent, 1 year, years 2 to 3, 6 years, and it's a lot of wonky stuff about the age and how long you've been in the big leagues, but
right.
As you mentioned last hour, they want to get away from, and it really is, I know that guys who don't empathize with people making more money than them look at this and go, whatever. No, NFL has kind of got it right. MLB does not have it right. These guys are making peanuts when they're really producing. I mean, Austin Riley's a perfect example this year.
So playoff expansion is something that they'll get that resolved. DH, they'll get that resolved. This is about the fundamentals of the money, the bottom line. And this goes into the Braves and not getting a deal done yet with Freddie. But the question is, Mike, are we going to have life without Freddie? Because the more you think about teams that have the willpower or the wherewithal to spend more than the Braves, not that the Braves couldn't, but these teams traditionally just have, there are some teams out there that could come forward. And this is something we have no control over. Like, we can, as fans, we can go, oh, yeah, that won't happen. And then it happens. And then you're going, well, I can't believe that happened. So there is a chance that this is the reality of where we're at, especially with Freddie hitting the free agent market for the first time. Now, with that said, Alex Anthopoulos, and we played a couple of these things, cuts for you earlier today, has come on our show numerous times through the course of the baseball season after the World Series and has made it clear, okay, that the team has every intention to try to make this happen. The problem is, for most of us, why hasn't it happened quite yet? Here's Alex Anthopoulos.
Freddie contract. Have you just told him that nothing's going to happen until the end of the season, and do you think it's affecting him?
You know, me as a policy, I just never talk about contract extensions. No one knew we were even talking to Acuna, Albies, or anybody else that we've signed over time. Even when we signed Josh Donaldson, that was kept quiet. So we work hard to keep those things quiet. You know, stating the obvious is we want to keep him. He's made it clear that, you know, he'd love to stay here. He wants to be here. He'd love to play his entire career here. You know, that's the first part. The next part is being able to get a deal done. So there's obviously a lot that goes into that, but our goal has not changed. Our goal is to have Freddie here for a long time, well beyond 2021.
There you go. I mean, that is the idea. It's just a matter of, does Freddie's camp look at this and say, I take that offer as an insult because it's been so long. That's when Rosado offers a lucky C-note to Frank Pantangeli, for those that have not seen Godfather 2. But, yeah, it's just a matter of, how does Freddie's camp react to that? Are they upset? Does Freddie feel he's been taken for granted? Have a little bit of risk involved in playing without a contract extension after this year in place? The other story, and this is something that a couple of fans of the Braves have reached out to us on Twitter and on the text line, and that is they're hearing rumors about Matt Olson. Matt Olson, apparently, by all indications, would be the Braves' plan B if the Braves could not get Freddie under contract. Matt Olson, who, by the way, played at Parkview High, does not hit for any remotely close to the average that Freddie does, but is a 29-year-old first baseman. You'd have some salary control over him, but that'd be a trade. You'd have to give up some minor league prospects to get Matt Olson here in Atlanta.
So, but you don't have to rush to do that,
no,
right?
No.
And that's the thing. So, And this is the shuffle game, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Most important story of the day, Freddie's deal not done. We are at the deadline for the new CBA, and it's not going to happen. So you don't have to rush to do that, but you also don't want to get caught with your pants down, Mike.
Exactamundo.
So, you know, you go, well, that's the backup plan. Well, what if it doesn't play the way you expect? And then you go back to that, and you go, well, we're going to go sign this guy, and he has another offer somewhere. That's the problem. That's why if you see your target, which is Freddie, just go make that happen. Let's just go put all we need to put into that and make that happen. I know some of you have argued about the length of the deal. And Mike, do you think some people, had a guy hit me up, he goes, this has nothing to do with Freddie, but some people, they see what's happening like with Matt Ryan, and they feel a certain way about how, you know, these contracts have been extended and he's been restructured. Now the NFL is different because it has a salary cap and you have to be under that. Baseball doesn't. So I understand that, like, to try to compare, but it's completely different. Freddie can get whatever he's going to get. That has no effect on what Ronald Acuna could go get because there's no salary cap.
Correct. No, I don't think that has any bearing. Not to mention, you know, Freddie has always proven to, you know, to be obviously, you know, even the 1 year with the wrist injury early in the first half, but for the most part, really durable. If you do feel that as you got older, you could always transition to the DH, although we're still waiting, you know, Major League Baseball, and everything's like, you know, freaking military secret now about the DH, but we think the DH is coming. So, and I just think, you know, I get it. You could argue that the 6 year, you know, you're getting yourself into like Pujols territory where you have no idea what Freddie's going to be at that stage, and why would you spend that? You'll have $30 million a year tied to an aging Freddie who you presume won't be able to do the things he's doing now. I mean, but it's, and I understand that side of it, but I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because right. the man delivered the goods in the postseason, but I just think that's something the fans would just lose their minds. Again, not the analytical nerds who are looking at the dollars and cents side of it. I'm talking about the fans who actually pay for tickets or at the parade. They would like to see Freddie remain a Brave.
I think smart Braves fans want to see Freddie remain as a Brave. And here's the other thing too, by the way. I mean, you want to talk about the analytics and all that. Who's giving you the extra 100 plus RBI?
Yeah, you know, just replace that. Matt Olson can't do what Freddie does.
No. I mean, there's a big, you talk about holes in your lineup. It took four guys to replace Ronald Acuna last year.
Right. Now, look, I mean, no, if you want to argue, you put Dunn at first base and you sign Rosario because Rosario is still out there.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't, I don't mind that idea. But again, you know, but Duval is, you know what he is. I mean, the guy had an unbelievable year. He strikes out a lot, but he also produces unbelievable RBI numbers.
Yeah, you start talking about how it affects your overall makeup of your team. When you start losing these guys, that's why what Alex did to get us right and to get us to the World Series was absolutely incredible. Because you lost 200 RBI with Acuna and Ozuna out. So, either way, guys, we're watching. We're hoping. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. The poll question is up about Freddie Freeman.
Oh, by the way, Richard Rodriguez, who they got from the Pirates for basically nothing and, you know, did a decent job, kind of used him all over the place. We didn't have confidence in him to not, you know, deliver fastballs we're going to get over the fence. That's why we didn't see him in the beyond the Brewers in the postseason. But Rich Rod and Camargo, non-tender offers, the contract, yada, yada. I'm saying here, consternation. I'm reading from Dave O'Brien. The Freddie thing is still going down. But Camargo is a guy that you and I have spoken about. He kind of became a man without a country or a position because obviously Austin Riley won the job at third base. He couldn't crack the lineup, you know, in the outfield. And let's be honest, Camargo, as his career continued, couldn't hit his weight, Carl.
Yeah. You have better options now.
Correct.
And that's really what this is about. So you're going to have better options with the bullpen and pitching and the way some guys elevated their game in the playoffs. And you've got better options with utility guys, and especially if the DH is going to be a part of the future, which I think a lot of baseball execs have told me it is, that it's going that way. Hey, real quick, Buccaneers Antonio Brown, Mike, he's going to miss the Atlanta Falcons game and the game against Buffalo. He's got a sprained ankle, so no Antonio Brown this weekend.
All right. We talked about it with Rick Stroud yesterday, so look for Brady and Gronk to get back in business. Hopefully we can do something to stop that on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Hey, coming up, guys, we're going to talk about the college football playoff. It doesn't get any bigger than this weekend. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If you're just joining us, we had two great guests on today. One, Aaron Murray, earlier this afternoon in the 2 o'clock hour. It's a big show, 5 hours. And the former Georgia quarterback came on and said, listen, he thinks the Dogs are going to roll, pardon the pun. They should win by double digits. But, you know, we get caught up in the whole Alabama thing. And then we had on our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation. And Connor was saying, listen, that they're going to have to throw the ball effectively to keep up with the Dogs, because they got running back issues and the offensive line is not as good as advertised. All of these things, Mike, scream Georgia should win this game, right?
Yeah, I know we said it. We're kind of conditioned that, you know, Saban is, you know, the Sith Lord or Darth Vader or the Boogeyman or whatever reference you want to use. You know? You know, what was the big eyeball in Lord of the Rings? Whatever that is, that's Saban. Sauron, thank you, Chris. Good pull. But yeah, man, I mean, we know the drill. You got to beat these guys. And then Georgia fans, I think Georgia fans really want to talk some ish, but you just got to wait till this game is played, because until it actually happens and then you beat this, you know, beat the Alabama Crimson Tide, and you can then move on. You almost wish that, you know, that Jimbo didn't beat you to it, if you're a former Kirby, former assistant Kirby, of course, with Saban all those years. But Auburn showed you, and it's unavoidable when you look at the common opponents and you saw how Georgia handled things. And then you take away Alabama's best running back. You know, you're going to lean on a Heisman candidate at quarterback, but can Bryce Young, and I think he'll have some success, but I just think Georgia has just got so many more things. You can check all those boxes that are on Georgia's side of the ledger going into this game.
Yeah, I do too, man. Let's hear from Coach Kirby Smart, because as we've been talking about this, and we'll continue, we've got great guests that are going to join us tomorrow and Friday as we get ready for Saturday's matchup down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He was talking about preparing for Bama. Listen to this.
You got really good players. I mean, isn't that what it about? That's what it's about. I always defer to the players in terms of games. I mean, people have just talked about our defense a lot this year, but it's really about the players. It's not about Coach Lanning or myself, or it's about the players. And I've got immense amount of respect for Nick and the job he's done and what he's done in Alabama the time I was there and since I've left. But he'll be the first to admit it's the phone calls Monday through Thursday and the official visits Saturday and Sunday that get the job done in terms of the players. But it does take a complete organization and great leadership, and he's provided that.
So it takes the players. Coach is right. I mean, it is about the guys you recruit and ultimately them going out there and performing. But as we've brought up, this is also about your resume. And it's also about the record and the legacy of what you did against the greatest coach in the history of college football.
Right.
And for Kirby Smart right now, he's 1-2-0-3. 2017 national championship, L. 2018 SEC title loss, L. 2020 regular season game, you were leading it, L. And by the way, you were leading all of these games, ironically. So, I mean, that's what this is about. So I agree with Kirby. It is about the players, but it is also on your resume. It is also, did you beat Saban when he was in his prime? And more importantly, Mike, still contending for championships, which this Alabama team is. Right. You said it. They may be better next year. Just because we think Georgia's better this year doesn't mean that Bama won't respond or rebound next year. We've said that. But right now, in this moment, This is a big moment for Kirby Smart.
Right. And this is why, you know, we've said, again, it has nothing to do with the Braves, but, man, a lot of Braves fans are dog fans. You're just feeling so good right now because things are going your way. And obviously the Braves, it was a rocky road to get there. But then, you know, it just feels like something you and I have said, if not now, when? If this isn't the year for Kirby. And again, you know, and I know that Connor Riley was on with us. And again, still it's he's got a lot of years now, 6 years now, 5 years in Georgia, I should say. But it certainly feels, you know, like it's time. It just feels like everything is in place. And you know, you beat Clemson, and look, I don't know what's going on with Clemson. That's a them problem. But that was a game that was still big, and it was a huge momentous game at the time. You know, and then later on in the year, you know, like Arkansas has taken a big step. You know, we've seen, you know, Auburn give Alabama all they can handle. Anyone who wants to say that Georgia's schedule doesn't hold up, all right, well, now you're going to play a better team in Alabama, the best team you've played, but you're also the best team that Alabama has played. And I just think all those things we just talked about, like Bryce Young is a star. We get that. But I mean, you're going to be leaning on him big time in this game. I mean, look, if you think you can throw and you're going to drop back, you know, 45, 50 times against Georgia, I don't see how that could work.
I don't either. Here's Kirby talking about how strong the wide receiving core is at Alabama.
I mean, the quarterback ability to get them the ball. I mean, they're really elite wideouts, but what puts them over the top is the distributor. You know, he is an incredible athlete, player, decision maker. What he doesn't get enough credit for is when the play breaks down, his skill set to deliver the ball, make people miss. And he sets up rushers. He's like a point guard. He's like an elite point guard that can distribute the ball. And when he's dribbling down the court, he's got the ability to throw it over there. And then he can make you miss, and he almost baits rushers. You know, he sits back there and is very patient, keeps his eyes downfield, great composure. But he makes those guys even better because where there might be another guy like that somewhere, they might not have the distributor.
The numbers are unbelievable. 40 touchdowns, 40 interceptions for Bryce Young. I was just telling you, Carl, asking about 50. He had 50 attempts with the overtimes against Auburn. The loss against Texas A&M, that was 48 passing attempts for Bryce in that game.
He's really good, man. Is he good enough to do all of this and make the plays they need by himself? No. He is a great distributor. I agree with Kirby. But this is – you're going up against the stout defensive front of the Georgia Bulldogs, which is giving up 6.9 points a game on average. So I think something's got to give. We always talk about these key games. What gives? Is it offense or defense? Are they going to be able to have the 400 yards passing they need against this dog defense? And are the dogs going to be able to slow them down and get off the field? That something's got to give. I'm going to go with what I've seen all season. Dogs have gotten off the field when they needed to, Mike. Every single game.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they won't move the ball. It doesn't mean Alabama won't score. But when they've needed to get off the field, they've gotten off the field. And I don't think this offense is going to be able to expose Georgia like that. We talked to Connor about it.
And I know that, you know, not having Brian Robinson, if he's not able to go or not at 100% lower body injury, which it doesn't sound good for him right now. But getting back to Georgia and running the football, the only way this thing goes off the rails is what you and I have been talking about all season and why people still are interested in JT Daniels' involvement in this game is if somehow Stetson goes out and literally runs around like a chicken with his head cut off and throws two interceptions.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's 14-0 and and all that creeps in. And then momentum swings to Bama. But I just have a hard time seeing that happen. I think they're going to do some things like Munkin's going to roll him out a little bit. He seems to be better on the move, you know, and go with a hot hand. Maybe that becomes, Cook in this game. But, I just can't wait. Saturday cannot get here soon enough, man. I mean, you want to talk about, like, those tickets are burning a hole in my pocket. I can't wait to get out there.
No, I totally agree. Hey, let's hear from Coach Saban about UGA's defense. He understands about big-time defenses and great defenses. He's had a few in his time there. Here's Coach Saban.
Play a good system. They have a good scheme. They're well-coached, and they have really good players. And they play hard. I mean, they play with, you know, a lot of toughness. They're fast reactors. They're very instinctive. So, you know, they got a combination of a good scheme and really good, well coached, and a lot of good players who make a lot of plays by playing, you know, sort of team defense. You know, they don't mess up a lot.
Yeah, that's the key. They don't make mistakes to beat themselves. Hey, man, we're going to continue to talk about the road to the college football playoff. Rankings came out last night, by the way, if you missed it. Dogs 1, Michigan 2, Alabama 3 with Cincinnati still in there at 4, Mike.
And again, AP doesn't matter as much now because we have the college football playoff, but UGA football tweeted out earlier, Georgia, the first team in college football history to receive every first-place vote in 8 consecutive Associated Press polls.
It's pretty strong. Hey, man, coming up, Wes Durham is going to join us. We're done at 6:30. We got Hawks basketball tonight. Pacers taking on our Hawks. Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons and voice of the ACC Morning Show on the ACC Network next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.